We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Aaron Rodgers looking for Devontae Adams. He's got it! DJ Moore has a pass to the end zone. Jonathan Taylor, touchdown!
Hello everyone, welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name is Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, and I'm joined by Sean Siegel, co-host of the Overtime podcast and also co-owner of RotoViz. And Sean, we're going to kick things off today with a little bit of a special for the listeners. We did mention at the end of the show the last day that you had said that there was a $5 discount to anyone signing up at the site, plus the 10% discount that we normally have for being a podcast listener here, but we are bumping that up for the next week. It is going to be the $5 off for anyone without the code, but you'll also get an extra 5%, so 15% off on top of the normal price. So to repeat that again, it's $5 off plus 15% off the RotoViz pass, and that gets you access to all of the content up on rotoviz.com. It brings you pretty much to this point next season, so it pretty much cover you for all of the 2022 content up on the website, the tools and everything, going through the draft, get you set up for Dynasty and into the season and much more. But Sean, a great offer. You mentioned at the end of the last show that it's a good kind of stocking stuffer to get it for your friends or your family who are interested in fantasy football, but you've bumped it up another notch with an additional 5% off. So I think the people, it's time to jump in and take the plunge if they haven't already signed up for rotoviz.com.
Yeah, when I was talking with Dave Cabin, and if anybody has just any questions about how to make it work for them, whatever your particular situation is, if you're buying for a brother, a father, a sister, a daughter, anything like that, and you want to make sure that you're getting the information in there correctly, you can email us at rotovizmain@gmail.com. Dave answers the emails. He also manages the subscriptions, and so he'll be able to help you out with that. But when I was chatting with Dave, we just thought it'd be nice to do a little bit something extra for our loyal podcast listeners. We've just had such a great season with you all. We appreciate you being with us throughout the week and leaving those great reviews for us. All that's so appreciated. We wanted to give something back there, and so it makes it a pretty good deal. Our friend and one of the coolest voices in the industry, Peter Overset, when I was on Ship Chasing recently, he was kind enough to refer to RotoViz as the best deal in the industry. Well, now, Ben and I were joking last night, we're not 100% sure what it gets to, but it's like almost free, right? And so a pretty good deal. We think that you'll like it. It's exciting for us to be able to make this offer during Christmas time. As you mentioned, it will take you through to next year. It gets us going with all the great prospect stuff. We're about ready to have the pre-order available for the rookie guide, so that is exciting too. If you're looking for that rookie guide as a possible gift, make sure you check back over the next couple of days. I know Curtis Patrick is working on that, and we should have it available. Obviously, just so much going on here at Christmas time. But if you didn't get enough Ramondre Stevenson, if you didn't get enough Pat Freiermuth, you're looking for some of those things. Number one, check out Travis May's work on the site. That's another thing the subscription will give you. Travis, just, I think, the best mind in the industry and just obviously very knowledgeable, very informed about all of these college guys, the prospect guru, almost without compare. And so get in there. He's got his top 100 countdown going right now. I have a lot of those guys as a result of Travis, and I'm very thankful every time that Freiermuth goes out there, has the 3, 4, 5 catches, scores a touchdown. Now, unfortunately, Colin, he was injured in a play in the game last week, kind of cut his fantasy quarterfinal off in the middle when he was really the only thing that the Steelers had going on there. So that was unfortunate. The other kind of bad news in a week that's been full of news that we wouldn't necessarily say is great, you and I did a fairly significant segment on Tuesday's show about Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and then by the time you had it posted, you know, he's testing positive for COVID. So hopefully he recovers as soon as possible, only misses the one game here. Hopefully his teammates were not in contact with him when he had it and or are more or less protected. And so we'll go clean. We've had the really unfortunate development with the Kansas City Chiefs where their players and their key players appear to be set to miss a game that could have really given them control for the number one seed. And Ben and I were talking on Stealing Bananas about MVPs. Colin, you and I have been talking about MVPs. Patrick Mahomes forcing himself back into that conversation. If he could go out a little bit like Aaron Rodgers against the Arizona Cardinals earlier this season, if he can go out without his stars and win that game, which against the Steelers team that's challenged to pick up a first down, it is definitely possible. But that would pull him back into the mix with a group that really does just seem like it's Aaron Rodgers, Cooper Kupp, and Jonathan Taylor at this point. But yeah, as we go through this week, it was frustrating last night. The Seahawks played well. We're recording this Wednesday morning. They played well, with the exception of forgetting to cover Cooper Kupp at the goal line. His second score was just one of those plays that is almost unstoppable. Such a great pass, such a great catch. The first one, you're watching, we're like, that zone coverage has to take into consideration that Cooper Kupp is just going to run across the goal line. What are you guys doing there? You can't play a great game. And this was a game, too, that the officials just simply robbed the Seahawks, right? You have a phantom pass interference on Cooper Kupp that keeps a key Rams drive going. And there's just absolutely nothing there. I mean, there's no possible way to have seen a flag. And then a flagrant pass interference on a fourth down that was not called and that ended a key Seahawks drive. So given that they're the weaker team, this was a good game by the Seahawks. I mean, there were some situations where Tyler Lockett not playing was helpful for us in terms of advancing. That's not really the way you want to advance, right? You want to advance because your players outscored the other team's players, not because the other team's players weren't there. And so Lockett wasn't available. We know there's probably going to be more of that this week, but hopefully it can be minimized as much as possible. But Colin, even with those disappointments, lots of other cool stuff happened in week 15.
Yeah, obviously there was some of the stars didn't have big games in week 15, but let's look forward to week 16. Let's hope that happens. It's going to be interesting as well, obviously, it's a very interesting schedule, I guess we'll say, over the last week with having the two games on Monday, two games on Tuesday. There is a Thursday night football game this week. There is two games on Saturday, which is on the Christmas Day schedule. Then we have the Sunday games and a Monday night football. And let's hope we're not in a situation come next Monday and Tuesday where, while it was fun to have the extra games progressing throughout the week, obviously we don't want to see games be moved because of, you know, concerns for player safety or health and things like that. So hopefully we have no real alterations as the week goes on. And Sean did mention the Chiefs. Hopefully nothing gets any worse there, and hopefully some of those guys might be able to test back in to play this weekend. And we did talk about MVS, Sean, on that. I edit the show on a Tuesday once we finish up to get it posted as soon as possible due to the time we record. And I edited that, posted that, jumped in the shower, and by the time I got out of the shower, that news had broke. So that's happened to us a couple of different times where news has broke shortly after we've recorded, but that's part of the business. In terms of fantasy football podcast, the one part I'm always jealous of shows or podcasts that have, you know, series where it's not related to an ongoing weekly change is podcast that can have evergreen content forever, whereas we produce shows every week, and like Sean was saying, sometimes 10 minutes after they post it can be out of date. But still, I'd say that this 1 week, hopefully, if MVS does miss out, the conversation we had will still be very, very valid. Sean?
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sean, you mentioned some of the stuff, including the MVP discussion, which I find very interesting, along with Ben on Stealing Bananas. Something else that I think we'll kind of just tease the listeners with it, but you did talk about projecting the 2022 first round in terms of ADP, and it is something that is in your Monday piece up on the website this week. But a lot of good conversation back and forth between yourself and Ben as to what, you know, should those guys go there, and then are you drafting them at that value, basically. So it was a very interesting conversation. I'd recommend, when the listeners have finished up on this one, if they haven't already heard Stealing Bananas from the Wednesday edition, to head back and listen to that. There will be a Friday edition coming your way also, so do check them out. Great stuff as always from Ben and Sean. On today's show, Sean, we are going to talk about, when I teased this on Tuesday's show, we're going to talk about some kind of younger wide receivers who maybe haven't had the seasons that people were hoping in terms of their ascension or forward movement kind of draft time, but have really hit over the last couple of weeks. And I'll let you decide which we're going to talk about first, but we do have the options around Christian Kirk, Gabriel Davis, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Russell Gage. So four very strong performances this week, but have been pretty good over the last couple of weeks. Who do you want to hit on first?
Yeah, well, Ben and I talked a lot about the Cardinals, so if people are interested in them, that's kind of one of our obsessions with Kyler Murray, Rondell Moore, James Conner, all of those guys. One of the most dynamic teams and most fantasy relevant teams, and a team that definitely is in flux despite the strong play they've had through most of the season before kind of a second meltdown game this past week. Talked a lot about Christian Kirk in that. There's some cool information in the article and on the site about his target location. You can go in and play with that by clicking on his page in the NFL Player Stat Explorer, a really cool tool. It has lots of other stuff as well, but you can go in, kind of look at where he's been targeted and compare that to his previous seasons. It'll open some eyes, I think, in terms of what the Cardinals are doing, some cool stuff there. But let's jump into Gabriel Davis, right? This is one that has just been mystifying, right? And, you know, we get the news this morning that Emmanuel Sanders is perhaps practicing ahead of week 16, and what will that mean for everything? Well, I mean, hopefully it doesn't mean that they use Davis less, right? I mean, here's a guy who he averaged just over 12 points per game across his last six games last year as a rookie, 89% snap rate during that time. Over the first 9 weeks of 2021, he plummets to 3 points per game on a 37% snap share. It's mind-boggling, right? I mean, you have this guy who's an ascending rookie who was an undervalued prospect. You hit on a prospect, and then you're like, no, let's go with somebody who catches passes at 2 yards across the field, or someone who was good back in 2013. I mean, that's not the way to deal with the defensive adjustments that you're having to face, right? So it wasn't until week 14 that he played serious snaps, 82% there. We've had some minor dings to Cole Beasley, to Emmanuel Sanders that have sort of gradually created some opportunity for him. Now, his big breakout happens this week, but it has been on the horizon, right? Over the last 6 weeks, he's scored more points than Beasley and Sanders combined. Now, when you go off for 5 catches, 85 yards, 2 touchdowns on 135 air yards in week 15, that's going to help those numbers, but it would have been the case even without that. So we're looking at a situation now where Davis has 12 career receiving touchdowns on 108 targets. Colin, I think this is very similar to the secondary receivers that we saw throughout the early portion of Aaron Rodgers' career, where you're like, okay, this guy is the wide receiver one. We know that he's going to be a big impact in fantasy. But the number two, the number three, any given week, those guys could go off for a big game and they could score touchdowns. And so our philosophy as fantasy players is not to be searching for these guys who just kind of get you across the line or occasionally they score. But at the same time, we know that there are injuries this year, obviously, and last year, kind of a unique situation where things beyond injuries will eliminate players. You need to have a very, very deep bench. So even though Davis isn't necessarily our target, because again, I mean, we want to have 6 of the top 15 receivers this year on our main event that did so well. And actually is like borderline still in the mix after 1 week. You know, it had 4 of the top 5 wide receivers. Gabriel Davis doesn't get into that lineup, but if you're thinking best ball or you prefer to have a running back heavy start, then he's somebody who seemingly would have been a good play this year, should have been a good play, hasn't been, but could now have a pretty big fantasy playoff impact.
Yeah, definitely. He's somebody who we did talk a lot about at the end of last season, heading into this season. And I did acquire him in quite a few dynasty leagues this off season. It was kind of baffling the way the snap share and the points per game. Obviously, the points per game taking the hit mainly because he wasn't on the field, so that wasn't very beneficial. But over the last couple of weeks, a major bump to that. And you mentioned Sanders potentially being back. On the other side of that, Cole Beasley will be on the COVID list for this game. So that leans to still should have quite a good opportunity. But he has looked like, you know, we love Stephon Diggs, but he has kind of outshone Stephon Diggs over the last 2 weeks in particular. And I believe he has 4 touchdowns over the last 3 games. So he's looking kind of at this point, like we probably thought he was going to start the season. So it's taken a while to get going, but at the moment, I can't see any reason that the Bills would be trying to phase him into a lesser role than he has. But like, I wasn't expecting that at the start of the season either. So I'm still expecting big things. I was hoping we were going to see that happen from the start of the season. But I actually had one league where I did start him in the playoffs this past week. So that worked out. But I'm hoping it's going to work out moving forward here. But has a good connection with Allen as well, and I'm always a little bit apprehensive when somebody has, like, you know, looks like it's all systems go and then it drops off like it has here and then it picks back up. Like, we could go into next season and the exact same thing could happen, but Davis's peripherals are something to be excited about.
Well, you mentioned being a little bit nervous about it dropping off, and there's a little bit of like a Traquan Smith element to these big games where you're like, okay, the number two here, you've got a good quarterback, you have the explosion, and then quiet. But the difference is just that Gabriel Davis was good right away as a rookie and has been a little more consistent when the Bills have let him play, whereas the Saints were desperate for Traquan to perform and he just wasn't getting the job done. So hopefully, if you're playing Davis this week, I also have a league where I was able to get through in Dynasty. Injuries had taken out the people I wanted to play. Davis had to move into the lineup. He got the job done, moved on to the next week. You know, as we are at this time of the year, Ben and I have a big league where we'll be playing against Davis the next couple of weeks, and we could use him to do poorly. So you just find the silver lining. He either wins for you or he loses for your opponent. But he's a very relevant player as we get to this juncture. Colm, another very relevant player and a real bright spot for a Detroit Lions team that has had a rough season, and yet, unlike some other teams that are struggling, appears to be very definitely going in the right direction as an organization and appears to very definitely have the head coach to take them to that next level. But that receiver would be Amon-Ra St. Brown, right? Here's a guy who was drafted outside the first 100 picks, had a lot of question marks on his prospect profile, but also went into college as an absolute star, one of the very top recruits in his class, and then was solid at USC, has some athleticism. He's probably a secondary receiver. We're into a time frame, and it's never been completely the case that you had to be a Calvin Johnson or a Julio Jones type player to be the superstar. We've had Marvin Harrisons in the past and that kind of thing. We're into a time period where smaller receivers can definitely have a role and have a big role. I would say that St. Brown is still looking at being a number two, but now you've got a situation with this Lions offense where if they could somehow find a number one, and that kind of thing, obviously easier said than done. We saw some teams take guys very high in this year's draft, and even though there have been peaks and valleys, it looks like Ja'Marr Chase, Jaylen Waddle, Devontae Smith will all pay off for those squads. But if the Lions could get a number one here, then they suddenly would have an offense with whoever that person is, St. Brown, TJ Hawkinson, DeAndre Swift, and then the young QB that they add, I think would have to be pretty excited, right? So we look at this leaderboard here. So St. Brown breaks out with his first big performance in week 13, and then over the last three, he scored almost 64 points. So has been a big help to fantasy managers during this crucial juncture. He's been efficient, right? A 1.15 air conversion. He's been the focal point of the offense. You've got this weighted opportunity rating above 7 or above 0.7, which is extremely high. Colm, these numbers aren't sustainable, but they do give us a sense of what he has accomplished during this stretch. And anytime that you get a rookie making a move now, you start to feel excited for them. And unlike the Bills, it's kind of hard to see a scenario where the Lions would have so much talent that next year they de-emphasize him with the way that the Bills de-emphasized Gabriel Davis.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they'll move away from him, next year. This Lions team is going to take quite a while to build unless they make some sort of splashes in free agency. Obviously, that kind of jump also coincides, and this could be more coincidence, but coincides with DeAndre Swift's injury, which happened against the Bears in the week previous. So starting off the season, so far this season is 65 receptions for 600 yards and 2 touchdowns. Those 2 touchdowns did come in the last 3 games. He does have 26 receptions in that time as well. So prior to that, he had 1 game against the Vikings previously with 7 receptions, but outside of that, nothing compared to the weeks he's had in the last 3 weeks. We are seeing a situation where Hawkinson is out for the rest of the season. Swift, we'll see if he comes back and can have an impact. But in terms of this offense, you're kind of looking at Josh Reynolds in there. So we're looking at players who he may not be, the wide receiver one next year, but if he isn't, it's likely going to be somebody in free agency or somebody through the draft. So there's still going to be those opportunities. It's not going to be a case where he becomes the number 4 overnight. And I think he's showing enough here that he could be quite interesting heading into 2022. But when we look at the Lions offense in general, anyone with, I think, decent talent who's able to convert those opportunities that they get is going to really stand out, because it is an offense outside of Hawkinson and Swift that is kind of bereft of talent. But if we get a young quarterback in there, that can be very exciting. But we have seen with the young quarterbacks that have come out of the draft this year, even the guys that we were very excited about, it's been very much growing pains for some of those guys. So that might also be a concern. But I've been very impressed since that Vikings game. He caught that kind of walk-off touchdown to win the game. I think things like that as well are going to, you see Dan Campbell talking after these games, and I think things like that are things that are going to affect a head coach like him, those emotional responses in a positive way. So yeah, I think he's quite interesting. He's also they're a unique family of names, Equanimeous St. Brown, that's on the Packers, also a brother. So I had fun one time when Equanimeous was drafted by the Packers, going through the family history for the different names of the family, which was quite quite interesting if you want to go down a rabbit hole. But yeah, St. Brown looking pretty good here.
Yeah, he looks great. And Colin, on the opposite side of the equation, we have Russell Gage, right? A veteran who is kind of known for being one of the least exciting players in the NFL and someone who only makes a contribution when the Falcons have nobody else to pass to, or if they've got a lot of guys out there that he can be this third, fourth receiver who does a little bit of possession work. And that's the reputation this week. At the very least, it was not remotely deserved because Russell Gage was out there making big plays, right? His 20-yard catch was one of the best touchdowns you'll see all season. He and a lot of the Falcons, I haven't been very impressed with what the Falcons have done this year, even with the development of Cordarrelle Patterson and the coaching staff, the front office. All of those folks deserve a lot of credit for giving him an opportunity, unlocking the obviously immense talent that he does have. A lot of coaches and a lot of good coaches have not done that in the past. So the Falcons have done some good things. They're still a team that feels very vanilla and not a team that's fun to watch, not a team that feels like it's really going anywhere anytime soon. And yet they are competing, right? And they fought in this one. And you see Russell Gage and what he did in this one. And it hasn't been just this week, right? Weeks 1 through 12, his target share is just below 11%. He's catching 66% of his passage, which isn't great when you're only being targeted 7 yards down the field. He was very negative in terms of expected points added from a reality perspective. And then the last 3 weeks, he's posted a 30% target share. His passes have been deeper by more than 2 yards, and yet his catch percent has jumped to 79, right? And so, again, we can look at these things and say that's a little bit of a fluke that he's stretched these games together here. They could have sequenced differently. And yet at the same time, I mean, you've got to give him credit. He's played very well, and he's a piece that the Falcons desperately need as, you know, little by little trying to work Kyle Pitts in. Obviously, I don't think it was a great situation for him to lose Calvin Ridley, because now as you're trying to learn the NFL and you're trying to make your way, you're suddenly also the defensive focal point. I mean, that's not great, right? It's not ideal for him. He's been a disappointment as a fantasy player ever since that little stretch earlier in the season where he got hot for a couple of games. The Falcons need someone like Gage, and he's really answered the call.
Yeah, I mentioned this to you before we started recording that, like, I'm on board with your opening comments there on Russell Gage, but some of these catches this week and some very, very good ones the week prior to, but some of the catches this week against the 49ers were absolutely incredible, as you mentioned there. Not somebody that I have on many of my rosters. I know there was the conversation earlier this offseason with Julio Jones no longer being on the Falcons. Would that open up opportunities for Russell Gage? And obviously, I was quite positive on Calvin Ridley's situation heading into the season. You mentioned not being impressed with the Falcons in general. I would very much agree with that outside of what we've seen from Cordarrelle Patterson. And obviously that didn't really work out this past week, but he has been a superstar for anyone that has him on their rosters. But obviously we know now that Calvin Ridley has been out since the kind of midpoint of the season. And, you know, hopefully he's, you know, getting things on track with himself. But in terms of Russell Gage, it didn't really click for him when that happened. It took a lot longer, and it's really been up until week 13 where that really kicked off, where he's basically trebled his overall target share, and that he's increased his ADOT, and he's definitely increased his efficiency as well in that time. So in the first 12 weeks of the season, just the 66 points, and then the last basically 3 weeks of the season, 55.5. So he has taken a real jump forward. I don't think that I talk about Davis and St. Brown, I feel like St. Brown's is something that we're working forward. And I think, you know, if most trade deadlines and most leagues are going to have passed in Dynasty at this point, but if you have opened leagues where you can still make trades, I think he is somebody to go out and try and acquire. I also think that he's probably going to continue to get a high target volume with Hawkinson being out. So he's somebody I think that value could increase. I think if you do have Russell Gage on your rosters, I don't know, Sean, if you'll agree, but he is somebody who I would be looking to move on from at the end of the season, or potentially sell high on at this point. Whereas Gabriel Davis is somebody who I'd be very much still trying to acquire and get on to my rosters. I don't know if you'd agree with that. If I was, you know, ranking these guys of who I want to have shares of for 2022, it would be Davis and St. Brown. And Gage is still, even with the success, probably somebody I'm not trying to have on rosters. Do you think that's a bit harsh on Gage, or do you think that's right?
Well, it's going to depend a lot on your particular roster, I think, with Gage. He's been so good these last couple of weeks, and he has had some flashes in the past to where I don't know that there's that big a difference between, I mean, they play different roles. I don't want to give the impression that they're the same player stylistically or from a route perspective, but I don't know there's that much difference between a Russell Gage and a Marvin Jones, for example. I don't mean the 2021 version of Marvin Jones, who, like everybody else who has to play for the Jaguars, has been ruined by what they're doing, but Marvin Jones kind of coming into the season, where he'd had a variety of good seasons as a number two or a number three. I mean, Russell Gage is going to work best in a situation where he's playing off of somebody else, even in the situation right now where they don't have another wide receiver. I mean, he's playing off of Kyle Pitts and off of the defensive attention that Pitts gets. But, I mean, here's someone who does have this possession element. And so in the right offense, he could have a decent floor for you. And then now he's demonstrated that he can make some plays. And so you're going to have some of these splash performances every once in a while. I tend to structure the roster so that there's not a lot of space for floor type plays at wide receiver. There's not a lot of space for players who, I mean, I prefer to have people with a very wide range of outcomes as opposed to someone who is in a place in their career where it's unlikely that they really elevate. Someone who is at his age and performance level isn't what I'm trying to do. And at the same time, if someone told me that he's actually a very good last spot on your roster type of guy for the next 3 or 4 years, that also wouldn't surprise me. And so there are some situations, you know, where it's easy to get caught up in taking players with such a wide range of outcomes that almost all of those outcomes, even though it's wide, are zero, right? And you don't want to get caught in a situation where you're using 5, 6, 7 spots on speculative players who really don't have value. And so if you have a little bit too much of that, taking someone like a Gage and making sure you can get through the fantasy playoffs, because if we've seen anything this week, I mean, I have a team in a league run by John Solis of the Solis Report, who, I mean, he rebooted the RotoViz Dynasty League a couple years ago. It's been a lot of fun. You know, as is always the case when you win, there's been some very good fortune in my direction where I have won the last 2 years. I do have a good roster, but I'm missing like 7 starters. And so I do think I went down in flames this past week. And that roster kind of moved in the direction where it was a lot of stars and scrubs based on how the moves that I made over the last couple of years to continue to push for the very top end. And, you know, this thing that you can do sometimes, I think that it's actually more for me personally, the only times I get kind of sucked in to making trades that are probably not good in the long term are when I'm defending titles as opposed to when I'm trying to win titles. Like, you know, you want to go back to back, you want to go back to back to back. You see guys get hurt, you make some moves that you know could come back to haunt you. You're hoping you can get out of those players, and then you're looking at it and you're like, how did I think I was going to get back out of Ezekiel Elliott? But so then you're looking at it and you're thinking, you know what I could have really used this week is Russell Gage. And so there are going to be situations where even dominant teams could use some more depth at the key moments. You know, don't get yourself caught in a situation unnecessarily where you had an option for depth and you didn't take it.
Yeah, it seems like you're sitting with 7 players missing on your roster. So if you need a wide receiver 8, that's where you're slotting in Russell Gage.
I mean, missing Lamar Jackson, missing a couple of running backs, missing like 4 wide receivers, missing TJ Hockenson and Darren Waller. I mean, Russell Gage isn't going to cover all of those things, but he'll give you one more person to where maybe you could get lucky. I mean, one of the things that we're trying to do, I mean, you think about some of the teams that made it through, and this isn't to say that these teams were bad, but you look at our league this week, and Colin, the most exciting thing happened this week, and we've kind of been, you know, trying to hold it a little bit, but we did advance in the FFPC Best Ball $100,000 tournament. We are in the final 48. One of the other 3 teams that advanced in our league this week was a team that had Brandon Cooks and Russell Gage. Right. And so, I mean, there are going to be situations where not only do those guys come through, and Brandon Cooks is a higher profile player, obviously, than Gage, but he's on a bad team. He's had the concussion history. I mean, there were some very real reasons why Brandon Cooks was available late, and he was available late, right? Sometimes those guys can come through. And so you do want to have as much talent and as much depth on these teams. Now, in this particular format that we're talking about, you basically drafted 18 guys. You were set with that. You couldn't make any moves. And so you had to be confident in Cooks engaged to start the season. And that worked out here, where Cooks engaged. Their prices to their scoring in the key week 15 were fantastic. And so that team is moving along with us. We'll hope we can outscore them next week. We don't know, obviously, if we'll be in the same league with them again with the four new leagues that are randomly generated. But yeah, when a player plays as well as Russell Gage did this past week, I think it's just nothing but credit that we can give to him. He was just so good. I couldn't believe how well he played. I mean, making plays on the ball, like,
there's one of the catches he catches like and holds on to it as he's like slammed into the ground, like on his back, and just holds on to it. Just like looks like something like Calvin Johnson out there.
Yeah, when you have a play where a guy appears to elevate by about 40 inches and then he's off balance and has to make a play on the ball in the air controlling his body, he's hit by the defensive back and has to play through the contact in the air. And then he comes down and has to play through the contact of the ground in the end zone, in a high pressure situation. That's a good play, right? So
I definitely give him credit for the good plays. Where I would hesitate in terms of, I was thinking about moving him on if you had him, in terms of those last 3 weeks, I did some quick calculations. Now, the first calculation is very easy. It was 4 seasons he has played in the NFL. So I divided that by 2 touchdowns, which was 25%. So that was very easy, Mats. But the second one was his career receiving yards, and the receiving yards over the last 3 weeks would work out at 12% of his career over the last 4 years. So 12% mightn't seem like a lot, but when you think about all the games he's played, it's a pretty big chunk. So
you're saying he's not as good as Marvin Jones?
He's not as good as Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones in his seasons was having like 48 touchdowns per season when he was with the Bengals.
Yeah, in my mind, Marvin Jones is always going to be, well, Marvin Jones is good. And Marvin Jones
is the guy who scores 4 touchdowns a couple of times a season.
Yeah, which is really only valuable in best ball, but it's valuable, right? Maybe that comes in week 16. Maybe a team that we face in the semifinals will have gotten through with Marvin Jones, and this will be the week that Trevor Lawrence takes off and throws for 400 yards, almost all of that to Marvin Jones, who catches 370-yard touchdowns. And well, we'll just have to hope to beat the other two teams if that's the question.
Yeah, just looking at Marvin Jones when you mentioned it, that 2013 season where he had 80 targets, 51 receptions for 10 touchdowns. So touchdown every 5 passes was the season I was thinking of. But yeah, Marvin Jones is probably better than I give him credit for. But that is going to take us towards the end of today's show. Sean did mention at the start again the promotional offer. If you want to sign up for a RotoViz NFL pass, it's normally 10% off, but for the holidays it is 15% off. And at the moment on the site, there is also a bonus $5 off the current subscription. So you can save yourself that $5 plus the 15%. Get yourself set up for 2022 with a RotoViz NFL pass. No better time than now to sign up, get yourself that savings as well as a great NFL pass to rotoviz.com. Gets you access to all of our content and tools. And once again, that promo code is RVRadio2021. Any questions around it, do feel free to reach out to Dave, and you can contact him through rotovizmain@gmail.com. That is MAIN. And of course, Sean, we want to thank our listeners. I know some people probably listen to the Tuesday show, and they'll probably be listening to the third show of the week, and we'll probably say something similar. But a big thank you to all of our listeners who have stayed with us throughout this season. We've been rolling now for, I believe, 3 seasons that we have kind of in the books at this point. But thanks to everyone who tunes in. I hope you all have a safe and happy and healthy time over the next couple of weeks here and heading into 2022. We do really appreciate everyone who does listen in. The other thing that I wanted to mention is some people do reach out when I mention about leaving written reviews. I know usually it's Apple Podcasts that the reviews are left on, but news this week that Spotify have opened up the ability to leave written and reviews on Spotify. So if you use Spotify, if you could drop us a written interview on the RotoViz Overtime podcast page and any of the other RotoViz podcasts when you're there, we would much appreciate that as well as we continue to grow the audience here on RotoViz Radio. We'll be back with another show on Saturday. If you are lucky enough, that may drop potentially on Friday, may drop a little bit earlier depending on when things are posting on the channel, but we will be back with that third show of the week. Best of luck this week in your fantasy football matchups, and again, as always, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.